The readings for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak ye the truth every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. Give not place to the devil. He that stole, let him now steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have something to give to him that suffers need. Please rise for the gospel. The gospel is reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. Again he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell them that were invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come ye to the marriage.' But they neglected and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contumeliously, put them to death. But when the king had heard of it, he was angry, and sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage indeed is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, call to the marriage.' And his servants going forth into the ways gathered together all that they found, both bad and good. And the marriage was filled with guests. The king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment?' But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus ends the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Many are called, but few are chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd like to start again by again bringing up the day of adoration that Father Rostand has asked us to have. It's actually an interesting thing that we Catholics do. These expositions of the Blessed Sacrament, where we invite people to come and worship God, hidden. And if we think about the fact that next weekend Christ the King is coming, and part of that feast, with the procession, we have periods where we stop and adore at outside altars our Lord, and then we finish it with a benediction. These benedictions, these adorations of the Blessed Sacrament can provide us much food for thought. We are told, we know that there's God there, but we see nothing. We feel nothing. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to see or feel anything at benedictions, at adorations of the Blessed Sacrament. Well, there are many good reasons. We're human. Humans get most of their information from their senses, from what they see, hear. That's fair. But we should be Catholic. And Catholics get their most important information from their faith. So by faith, we know that in that piece of bread, what looks like that piece of bread, there is God, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That should be the foremost thought in our minds at any adoration, at any benediction, even any time we're praying before the tabernacle. There, God is hidden even more deeply behind the veils, and inside the tabernacle. And it's faith that allows us to pierce through those veils. So I can stand here all day and give you truths of your faith. But it means nothing until you choose to think them. We have to choose to think the truths of our faith. We always wait to feel something. We always wait to feel like God is whispering in our ears saying, hey, I'm going to tell you a secret. I want you to believe something for me. Do me a favor. It doesn't work that way. Faith is in things unseen, unfelt. How strong is our faith? How strong is our faith? We wait for something to call a truth of our faith to our minds. Well, maybe the priest will say something that moves me. And if he doesn't, it's his fault. Let's say it another way. How much responsibility do we take for our own faith? How much responsibility do we take to think the truths of our faith? It's a question that sounds very vague. It's one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves. Do we bring ourselves to think truths of our faith? This is something that in this parable of the wedding feast, our Lord kind of points out. There are many different ways to interpret this parable, but the wedding feast, many of the fathers say that the wedding feast symbolizes the church. And if you notice, in the wedding feast, all were invited. All were invited. The king says, I've had it. Go out and grab everybody. Bring them in. I don't care who they are. Everyone's invited to the wedding feast. And our Lord says, both the good and the bad. So just because we get to the wedding feast, or just because we get to the church, well, that's necessary, yes, but we're not done. It's not over. But over the years, how easy is it to just kind of think, hey, I got to Mass. Wow, I'm done. I got the kids actually out the door on time. Everyone from the baby to the teenagers, all 15 of them. In the van actually started. No ice on the roads. We didn't break down. Got here. No one got lost between the van and the door of the church. We actually found a space to sit. No one's thrown up yet. No one's run off yet. I'm done. It's great. It's a lot. It's a lot. I couldn't do it. But it's not enough. It's not enough. What do we do now? It's not enough to wait for me to say something that moves you, that makes you feel like, wow, I never thought of that before. That's so beautiful. It's so consoling. Well, I might sometimes. It's not enough, though. It's not enough. Do you pray your Mass? Do you have any idea what the introit, the collect, the epistle, the gradual, the alleluia, the gospel, what the spirit that the church is trying to give you from those readings? Do you have any idea what the introit and the collect said? Did you think the introit and the collect? Did you pray the introit and the collect? It's a good question. It's a good question. Yes, the priest prays it. Yes, by being here, you're uniting your will to the priest's. Is it enough? Is it enough? You're at the wedding feast. You're at the wedding feast. It's not enough just to show up. Are you exercising your faith? Are you using your will to adhere to these truths of the faith, to think them? It's a very simple question that nobody wants to think about. And that's what our Lord keeps trying every time. He keeps trying to turn the Pharisees back to this. He says, look, you've got the law, you've got the prophets, it's not enough for you. You need to do something else. You need to take the next step. And they simply never did it. They wouldn't do it. And they had our Lord himself there. Can you imagine what it must have been like to hear our Lord speak? To not be moved by that. They must have had hard hearts indeed. Indeed. We have many more supports than they did, but we don't see our Lord with his human body. So in a sense, we can say it's harder for us. On the other hand, we receive our Lord in his body and in his divinity. This is the feast. This is the feast. This is the communion. But do we prepare ourselves for it in between Masses and leading up to the communion at the Mass? So, you know, it would be customary to give you techniques, things to do. Here's how you prepare yourself for communion. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. And it's absolutely fitting. But, you know, you're probably not going to listen. And even if you listen, you're probably not going to do it. You're not going to change. Probably. So I ask you these questions. Do you have any idea what this Mass has been about so far? Do you have any idea what the collect of the Mass has prayed for? Have you taken any time before the Mass to think about the Gospel, the Epistle, how it relates to you? If not, you're at the feast, but there's going to come a time when you're going to realize or you're going to be told that, well, you were here, but you didn't belong. Not because you were bad. Not because you were bad. Our Lord doesn't kick out sinners. He seeks them out. He wants to bring them in. We say, oh, I'm too bad. I'm evil. I'm a sinner. We all are. That's not an obstacle to entry. It's not an obstacle to heaven. Not changing. That's the obstacle. Not changing so that we love God more than we love ourselves. That's the obstacle. Sin. God knows we're sinners. God knows we're sinners. But we have to change. There's the obstacle. Take responsibility. Pay attention. Come, adore our Lord hidden in the Blessed Sacrament, even when he's in the tabernacle. You know, a lot of times, men especially, well, I'm busy, I'm working. Yeah, we know that. We know that. And that's good. And it's not enough. Your family needs more than a paycheck. Your family needs more than a roof over their head. Your family needs you to lead them in adoration. That's what your family also needs. So, yeah, I know you're busy. And I know you're tired. I understand that. And examine yourself. Well, I'm tired, so I get to spend 3 hours on the internet to make up for it. It's a dangerous argument. It's a dangerous excuse. You do have the option to be here more often than you are, man. It's just a fact. It's funny. Adoration, you look, who's there? Mostly the women. Adoration is not just women's work. It's not going to make you effeminate to come kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's not going to be the straw that breaks your back, that makes you incapable of supporting your family. Who knows? God might actually give you some blessings for coming out of your way and adoring Him. In simplicity and in truth, in humility, making an act of faith, knowing that God Himself is on that altar. I don't know. You might get something for that. We need to examine ourselves. We need to be aware of what we think or don't think, and we need to choose what we should be thinking. It's not enough just to walk in the doors of the church. It's not enough just to get baptized. It's not enough just to come to Mass on Sundays. It's not enough. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost, amen.